finds himself sitting outside the pearly gates, waiting on St. Peter to process them into paradise. While waiting, they began to wonder, could we possibly get married in heaven? When St. Peter shows up, they asked him. St. Peter said, I don't know. This is the first time anyone has ever asked that question. Let me go and find out. And he leaves. The couple sat and waited and waited. 2 months passed, and they were still waiting. While waiting, they began to wonder, what would happen if things didn't work out? Could you get a divorce in heaven? After yet another month, St. Peter finally returned, looking somewhat bedraggled. Yes, he informs the couple, you can get married in heaven. The couple replied, great. But we were just wondering, what if things don't work out? Could we get a divorce in heaven? St. Peter, red-faced in anger, slams down his clipboard on the ground, and the frightened couple asks, what's wrong? St. Peter shouted, oh, come on. It took me 3 months to find a priest up here. Do you know how long it'll take me to find a lawyer? My apologies to any attorneys who are present at that mass today. Well, what that joke suggests is that priests are scarce in heaven. But do you know where priests are apparently plentiful? According to the medieval poet Dante Alighieri, in his famous book, The Divine Comedy, he puts not only priests, but even popes in hell. And believe me, there's nothing comic about that. These four prelates include Pope Nicholas III, Pope Boniface VIII, Pope Clement I, all who inhabit the second to last deepest circles of hell for the sins of simony, selling spiritual goods. Dante's poem is a grim reminder of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. You know, personally, I never want to forget that admonition. So on my ordination card, I wrote this ancient quotation. Great is this mystery, and great the dignity of priests, to whom that is given which is not granted to the angels. The older I get, and the more my daily sins pile up, the more convinced I am that that quotation is not a cause for pride, but rather a motive for the deepest humility. In the priesthood, perhaps like nowhere else, God's mercy meets man's mediocrity. In the second reading today, St. Paul seems to have this priestly paradox in mind, where sin meets grace. When he writes his first letter to Timothy, he exhorts his priestly protege, saying, but you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. In other words, don't you dare take for granted the great gift of the holy priesthood, which is not given even to the angels. You may recall that St. Timothy was one of Paul's closest companions on his missionary journeys. He loved him like a son. He writes at the beginning of his first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 2, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. In the year 64, St. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to govern the church as its bishop. Paul wanted Timothy to have Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, burned into his memory. Or as the Jonas Brothers sing in their popular song, Sucker, Paul wanted Jesus to be the tattoo inside his brain. the medicine and the pain. Which is a perfect description of how Paul and Timothy and all priests feel about Jesus. I'm a sucker for you. I bet you never thought about that song in those times, did you? The U.S. Sarah Club that promotes vocations to the priesthood annually sponsors Priesthood Sunday, which falls this year on this Sunday, September 29th. That's why I'm talking so much about the priesthood today. Some people call it a second Father's Day, besides the one we celebrate in June. I really like that designation of being called Father, because we all have natural fathers, and we honor them, and we love them. But we also know they're not perfect men. They're weak and broken. The same holds true for our spiritual fathers, our priests, who need our prayers, because they too are not perfect men. But do you know who you really need to pray for, besides for priests today? You need to pray for their church staff that have to work with them on a daily basis. Why? When you get to see the priest at Mass, when we slap on a smile and are charming and cheerful, oh, Father John is so wonderful, you think. But the staff sees us when we are grumpy and grouchy with a bad hair day, when we are picky and petty and worried about the money, when we are selfish and slothful and rather stay in bed than get up and go to Mass, when we are unkind and unkempt because we don't have a wife to clean us up. In short, you see the man of God, but they see the man of mediocrity. You think all priests will go straight to heaven? They know that all priests will be lucky to make it to purgatory. On Priesthood Sunday, and really every day, pray for your priests because they need it. But in a sense, you need those prayers for priests even more than they do. Why? Well, because without priests, who will baptize your baby? Who will hear your confession? Who will marry your son or your daughter? Who will feed you with the bread of life? And who will anoint you before you leave this world to go meet your Maker? In other words, the people of God need these mere mortals because they have been granted that which was not given to the angels. In their hands is your salvation. St. Augustine, the holy and very humble Bishop of Hippo, tried to balance these two sides of the sacred priesthood, saying, where I am terrified by what I am for you, I am given comfort by what I am with you. For you, I am a bishop. With you, I am a Christian. Please pray for us priests, these men of God, these men of mediocrity, these men with Jesus tattooed inside our brains. Pray for priests, so that it will be easier for St. Peter to find one in heaven. Pray for